Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn your attention to the book of Psalms, chapter number 107. While you are turning there, amen, we want to be cognizant of Brother Keith, and we are going to be praying for him here in just a moment's time. Amen. But he needs a touch of the Lord. We want to pray that God would reach down and touch him, touch his body. Amen. He is in the hospital. And so we want to pray that God would touch him. And he needs that touch today. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for preaching today? Amen. Psalms chapter number 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We got any redeemed in here today? Anybody been redeemed? Amen. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and hath gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. In other words, God went out of his way and gathered you in. And they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Thank the Lord. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And began reading at verse number 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. He went out of his way to go find such as you and such as me. Thank the Lord for that. Let's just praise him. Amen. And let's ask the Lord to touch Brother Keith here today. Father, we love you. We're so indebted to you, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done to us, for us. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I pray, God, that you would reach down and that you would touch Brother Keith this morning. Reach down in that hospital room, God, and let your presence fill that place. God, most of the time it's void of anything, Lord, concerning or even similar to the presence of the Lord. But I believe today that you can walk into that place and that you can visit him and that you can touch his body and his mind today. And we're going to praise you and thank you for your healing virtue in that situation. I pray, God, that you would reach down in this house this morning and that you would touch every heart and every soul. God, touch our minds and help our hearts and our minds, our spirits to be ready to be receptive to your word, and not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers. God, to reach out and to be obedient, to accept it and to act upon it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your redemptive factor. We thank you for the blood of Christ. We thank you for all that you have done for us, and we worship you and give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think it would be good if we would just give him a hand clap of praise and bless the Lord today. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's time to lift your voice and to thank God for his redemptive plan. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise God. We are not talking of anything that is new, for the plan of redemption and the theme and the principle of redemption is replete throughout all of Scripture. Amen. Redemption simply is the action of saving or being saved from error, being saved from sin or evil. It is the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or the clearing of a debt. And we know that this started even with the people, the children of God. We find in the book of Exodus that they were there in the land of Egypt and started off just simply over on the sidelines in Goshen. And so I just simply submit to you today that it does matter the direction that you are heading in. And it does matter, amen, where you pitch your tent. Amen. It does matter where you decide to reside in the spiritual world. Amen. The Bible teaches us that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Amen. And it cannot discern the things of God. And we understand that if we walk after the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. Praise God. And as I get into this a little bit more later on this morning, amen, I want to prove to you and show you that God cares how that you live your life, and that God cares, amen, where you live your life. And I'm not talking about necessarily a physical address, but amen, spiritually, God does care. And so there in the land of Goshen, the Bible said that there was a Pharaoh that passed away and another that rose up who did not know Joseph. And he began to look at the children of Israel as enemies to be. That could it be that when the Egyptians' enemy would raise up, that the Israelites would team up with them and would be overwhelming of the Egyptians. And the Bible even teaches us that the more that the Egyptians persecuted the Israelites, that the more that they prospered. And even more than prospering, the Bible teaches us that they outnumbered even the Egyptians. And they could have been stronger just in numbers, but also with the power and the presence and the favor of God. But they succumbed to the slavery and to the world of bondage. And Pharaoh increased their bondage upon them. And they began to cry out unto the Lord. In the book of Exodus chapter number 6, in verse number 5, reading it says, the Lord said, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you for me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage, for I am the Lord. And so we see the plan of redemption being initiated in this situation. And Moses would go down to the Pharaoh and begin to tell Pharaoh, amen, that the Lord said, let my people go? And Pharaoh's response simply was, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Let me just stop and interject today that we know that Egypt is a type of sin, that Egypt is a shadow of what this world in a world of sin is. And we know that the workers and the Pharaoh of Egypt represent the taskmasters and the Lord of sin and Satan himself. And Pharaoh or Satan would declare, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And we know that the desires, that the plan of the enemy is to not let anybody go. Amen. I want you to know that those that are in this world, that live in this world, that they are bound by this world. And as much as people don't want to admit that they are addicted, I just tell you that they are addicted to this world. And the first thing that when an individual would go to AA, they would have to basically make an admittance. Amen. That my name is such and such, and I am an addict. I am an alcoholic. They have got to admit that they are addicted. And so I just say today that there are so many that are in this world that at some point in time in their life, they do not realize that they are bound by this world. They think that they are living in freedom. They think that they are living life the way that they desire to live life. But I just simply say, take away of the few things that they seem to possess. Take away, amen, their liquor cabinet and see how long that they begin to realize that they are not living in a land, in a world of freedom. Take away their nicotine. Take away their drugs. Amen. And let them declare how free that they really are. They're not free. And you and I were not free when we lived in that land. We were bound and we were ruled by all forms and spirits of anger and perversion. Amen. And idolatry. Oh, yes, we had our gods that we worshiped. Amen. The gods of mammon, the gods, amen, of money, the gods of the play toys, the gods of all of the things that we heaped around us. We had time for all of those things and no time really for God. It is so indicative of individuals when they began to complain about a church service that would last more than an hour and a half, and God forbid 2 hours, but yet they can sit in front of their televisions for endless hours, amen, and pay attention to the licentiousness of this world. Amen. They can binge, amen, and indulge in lives of immorality as soap operas play, and as they feed their spirits and their souls with the immorality of the world. Amen. It is, amen, so unique that people would complain about, amen, the things that are going wrong in the world, but nobody wants to fix them. Nobody wants to try, amen, to do something about it. Amen. Somebody said, amen, there's all kinds of agendas and people are trying to fix these things. I just simply say, I think that the, amen, that common sense walked out of the room a long time ago. How can we live in a world, amen, that seems to be more wise than any generation that we have lived in? How can we be a part of a population that has more degrees hanging on the walls, more people, amen, with master degrees, associate degrees? We have
kids that are graduating out of high school that already have an associate's degree in college before they have a diploma. And they go on to get their bachelor's and their master's. And now there is a desire in the world, amen, to push forward from that and to become doctors. In philosophy, doctors in medicine, doctors in all kinds of things, in engineering and in science and such. And we live in this world that in a quote-unquote saying is so much smarter than any generation that has lived in the past. We can understand and explain genetics. We can explain, amen, crop rotation, amen. And when common sense just used to tell our great grandfathers who were out there and just sowing in the field, amen, of how, and they recognize that if I plant this, amen, at this time and plant this at this time, it just seems to do right. And somebody would say, why is that? And they would just shrug their shoulders and say, I'm not sure, but it works and that's good enough. But today we can explain all of these things. We can explain atoms. We can explain neutrons and protons. We can explain science. We can explain diets. We can explain carbohydrates. We can explain all of the other things. But yet we are so eaten up with knowledge. And yet we have a hard time with some people. And they can't even decide which restroom that they're supposed to go into. So smart, amen, and sitting on supreme councils, and then you ask them, is this a female or is this a male? And they simply shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know, I'm not a biologist. Common sense has left the room a long time ago. And that's why I say that these people have no idea that they are really bound. They're bound by their ways. They're bound by sin. They're bound by, amen, the lust and the desires that they have. And back in Egypt, there were some people that began to realize, hey, we're bound up. We're not living freedom like we'd want to live. We're not doing as we desire to do. As a matter of fact, there's somebody telling us when we wake up and when we can go to bed and how much we've got to produce and where we've got to go and what we have to gather in, because that is the way that sin will be in your life. Sin is going to tell you when you're going to wake up and when you're going to go to sleep. And sin is going to just say, oh no, that don't happen. Amen. Then why was it that common sense would put a man to bed sometime between 10 and 12? But you would see that, amen, in this past weekend that there were so many crimes that happened after midnight. And when you read of murders and when you read of thefts and carjackings and such and barroom brawls and everything, just look at the timeline and it'll tell you 2:38 a.m., 4:38 a.m., 3 in the morning. Amen. Common sense says I should have been in bed, but sin dictates what a man's gonna do and where a man's gonna go. But thank God for somebody that began to cry out and say, hey God, I'm not happy in this life that I'm living anymore. I'm not as happy as I portray to be. This smile that is on my face, amen, really there are tears that are falling down in the back of the eyes. There are tears that are rolling down and wetting the pillows at night. I need some help today. Thank God for a father that is able to come down and to redeem all mankind from their sin. Let's love him today. Praise God. And so we would see that the Lord would begin to manifest himself and his power in the land of Egypt. And there were the plagues that began to happen. Water turned to blood. Animals were dying. Hailstones were falling and destroying crops. Frogs and lice and flies and other pestilences. Darkness was coming and such things. And then even the death of the firstborn. And God would use the blood that covered the individual upon the doorpost to bring the people out. You understand that they were in their houses and they were partaking of the Lamb. As a matter of fact, there is the Lamb theology that is involved here. For God would tell Moses to tell the people, and he would tell them to take a lamb, and they would have this to have a lamb without spot and without blemish. And then you would notice that it gets a little more specific, and it says that they would take the lamb. And so it was the one that was chosen, not just any of them, but now it is the lamb without spot and without blemish. And then it would go a step further as it entered into their house, and as they were supposed to partake of it, it was introduced as your lamb. Your lamb shall be this. Somewhere or another in this world, God has got to go from just being a God of the world to being the God of the world. And then at some point in time, God wants to become your God, for he is the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. And we would see that the blood theology was applied with lamb theology. And so the lamb's blood was shed, and they would take the lamb's blood and they would apply it to the doorpost and to the mantle across, and they would be inside the house and they would eat of that lamb. And then when the death angel come, he would pass by those that had, that was within the safety of the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't need to get ahead of myself here today. Let me just continue on, because we would see that when the fullness of time was come, Galatians 4, that God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law. And the Bible says to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, God was saying, I'm ready to redeem those that are bound and living under the law. I am ready to save, people from sin. I'm ready to save people from error. I am ready to save people from evil. I am ready to pay the price, in exchange to have them. I am willing to give the price that is necessary for that. He knew that it would be the price of blood, for the master of those that was in bondage would know this, it would declare it to be. He's not just going to let you go just because that you want to go. And we would see that this is how that Pharaoh would talk to Moses, as Moses would say, we want to go and we want to worship. And the enemy, the Lord of enemies, would say, you can go, but you can't go very far, and you can't take your children, and you can't take your animals. Three times they began to say, we want to go worship. And finally he said, you can go worship, but you can't take your children. And they said, oh, no. If I come out of the world, my family's coming out of the world. Thank God for moms and dads who still willing to take their families out of the world and lead them to the house of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for moms and for dads, that will have their children to follow in the footsteps as they make their way in the direction towards the house of God. Thank God for the parents that are in this place here this morning, that you brought your children to the house of God. You've got a desire to see them raised right. Got a desire to see that they're not raised the same way maybe that you were raised. Or better words would be said, that they don't have to go through some of the same things that you went through. Don't have to experience the addictions that you experienced, the hardships that you experienced. Praise God. And if you're not on that road, I've come to tell you today, you can get on that road, because there is a God and a Savior who is willing, and he's already paid the price to redeem your soul from the enemy.
Listen to this. Amen. In the book of Genesis chapter number 2, the Lord would tell Adam and he would say, you can partake of everything out here except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you partake of that tree, you shall surely die. Amen. And let me just show, amen, what the enemy loves to do to you. Amen. Here we are living in a garden that is full of everything that you can imagine. Basically, a euphoric utopia Adam is living in. And the enemy wants to come in and wants to magnify the one thing that God said don't do. But that's what the enemy wants to do in your life. He wants to accentuate the negatives. Amen. He wants to expose. He wants to exponentiate the sin, the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. Amen. That are they are a part of the law. There is no getting around it. There was a law that was even in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Adam, you can do a whole lot of things, but there is one thing that you cannot do. Amen. Don't get upset when God puts a few boundaries in your life. We would see that when the children of Israel would come out of Egypt, amen, they thought that living a life of freedom was so grand and great, until the Lord came down and he said, if you will do the commandments that I give unto you, then I will do these things. And the Lord set forth, amen, great wonders that he would work with, how he would lead them through the land of the enemies, and how that he would give them the spoil of the land, and how that he would take them to a land that flows with milk and with honey. But they got all bent out of shape because, amen, that somehow or another God started talking about laws and commandments. Praise God. Amen. If he redeemed your soul, he ought to have a say-so in a few things. Praise God, praise God. And so he told Adam, you eat of this, you shall surely die. And here comes the enemy talking to Eve. And he said, amen, what is going on? And Eve said, well, there's one commandment, just one commandment. We're not supposed to eat or touch of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that we eat of it, we shall die. And the enemy, amen, explicitly states, as the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Amen. Direct opposition, direct contrast to what God has stated in his commandment. Oh, yeah. But you know, the law would go on to say, Ezekiel chapter number 18 and 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen. Adam, if you eat of that fruit that is wrong, that is sin, you shall surely die. Amen. Just this past Sunday night, I talked about and taught about that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as opposed to the tree of life that was there. Amen. Being able to partake of the tree of life and not worry about the knowledge of good and evil. And we're not going back to that today. Amen. But there was something that he could not do. Amen. And he did partake of it. It was sin. And the commandment simply was, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. If you're involved in sin, I want you to hear me tonight. I'm not mincing words. I want you to know that I love you more than the world loves you. I want you to know that, amen, anybody that will tell you the truth loves you more than anybody that would stand there and lie to you. Amen. It is the devil's way to look at you and shake his head and say, that really does not matter, when the Bible states specifically that it does matter. Who are we, amen, to look at the Bible and say, no, that just does not matter? I want you to know that all sin matters to God. That if it was not important to God, God would have never said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. If it was not important to God, he would have never said, repent. If it was not important to God, he would have never administered the doctrine of baptism. If it was not important to God, he would have never talked about being filled with the baptism
baptism of the Holy Ghost. These things matter to God. As a matter of fact, he go on to say, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Bible said that for a man to know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is going to bind you up. Sin is going to destroy your life. Sin is going to cause you to be lost. That's why the Lord would say, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Thank God for those that have come out of a life of sin. Thank God for those that have stated, I'm tired of living this way, but I can't shake my addictions. I can't shake this worldly lust. I can't shake these problems. But God, in his mercy, but God, in his redemptive factor, came down to redeem a wretch like you and I.
Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 11. But Christ become a high priest of good things to come by a great and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, he is alluding back unto the atonement of how that they would come in and how that they would be overwhelmed by their sin, and they would bring the sin offering, and they would bring their trespass offering, and they would bring it unto the Lord, and they would sacrifice, amen, for the atonement of sin. And he says that neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. We know that the high priest would enter into that tabernacle one time or twice a year. He would go in for himself and then come back and go in for the sins of the people. But the Bible teaches us that Christ becoming a high priest, he was the high priest and the sacrifice. He robed himself in flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, a man robed himself in flesh, and the Bible said that he came and dwelt among us. In other words, he tabernacled among us, and he was the high priest going into the holies of holies to make propitiation, amen, sacrifice for us and for our sins. In other words, to redeem us of our sins, amen, to purchase, amen, the price, pay the price that was upon us, amen, for our sins, amen. The price was simply blood. The price was extremely high, because the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen. He goes on to say, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There's the redemptive factor. There's the price that was paid. 1 John chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2 tells us that he was the propitiation, amen, for the sins of the world. And not just for this world, but for the sins of the entire world. I'm just simply saying that there was blood that shed for Paul and Peter and James and John and Luke and the rest of the apostles. There was enough blood shed, amen, to cover the Romans that nailed him to a cross. There was enough blood shed to experience revival in Samaria, amen, sometime later. There was enough blood shed to cover an entire generation of Gentiles in Acts chapter number 10. There was enough blood that was shed to go back into John
John the Baptist's disciples in Acts 19 and to redeem them. And furthermore, and on top of all of that, there was enough bloodshed for the century of the thousands and the 2000s, even up unto 20 and 23. That blood is still alive. That blood still has power. That blood still has the purchasing power to redeem you from your sins.
Let's love him and thank him today. Praise God. Amen. You let me take it just a little bit further here today. Sin had a hold of your life, and sin owned you as an individual would own a slave. Amen. Sin demanded of you all kinds of things because that you had sinned and you had become a slave to sin. Praise God. Don't get quiet on me here today. God brought you out of that land. God brought you out of that ways. And some of you young people, and you have never experienced the taste of alcohol. My wife was talking to a lady, amen, this week, and she asked about, amen, our partaking in alcohol and such, and she told my wife, she said, so you've never tasted alcohol? And my wife said, you know what, I haven't been in church all of my life, and so yes, I have. She said, but on the other hand, my husband has never. Amen. And so some of you young people, I've got that testimony. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never drank alcohol in my life. I've never had drugs in my veins. I've never had any type of foreign substance of drugs up my nose, in my veins, or, amen, between my toes. Amen. God has been good to me. Amen. And you've got a testimony in that. If that is your testimony, you got a testimony in that. And you ought to be thankful for that. Amen. God is not just bringing you through. He has already brought you through. Amen. You may only be 15, 16 years of age, but God has brought you. You understand that there are those that are 13 years of age that are in juvenile detention centers today because of drugs and because of violence. But God has been good for you. Amen. The blood has covered you from an early age. The blood sanctified you. The blood redeemed you. Amen, amen, amen. The book of Ephesians chapter number 2. He said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin, because the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you thought that you were living it up. You thought that you were having a great grand old time. You thought, amen, that life was wonderful. You thought that you had life by the horns. Amen. And that you could do and come and go as you please. But it's going to take a certain situation in your life, and you're not going to have a redeemer there. You're not going to have a savior there. And in your quandary, in your moment of despair, you're going to be like the children of Israel, who for some 400 years had grown up in the land of Egypt and began to cry out and say, God, I don't know who that you are. I don't know really where that you are, but I see all of these gods in Egypt. I see the sun god and the moon god and the bull god and all of these other gods, and none of them is able to help. But if there is a God that is in the heavens somewhere, we are crying out for help. Amen. I've heard Grandpa talk about Jehovah. I've heard Grandma, amen, and others talk about this God, and we're crying out to you. Don't know exactly who you are, but would you send a deliverer? And when the Lord came down, Moses said, the I am has come and he has sent me. You called for a deliverer. God said, I am your deliverer. You called for help. God said, I am your help. You called, amen, to be brought out. I am come to bring you out. Let's talk about a few things that the world doesn't like to talk about anymore. that the world has put a stamp of justification upon it. The Bible still teaches us that old, outdated book that we call the Bible, that has all of these rules and regulations, amen, that is archaic, amen, that Bible, that book, it states this: know ye not, amen, there's some things that we ought to just know and we ought to just understand, amen, but we are living in a generation who honestly does not know these things. These things are common to them. It's just common to live in a world of fornication. It's just common to live in a world of adultery, open-ended marriages. It's just common and becoming more common, amen, to be involved in a homosexual lifestyle. But this outdated, antiquated book states, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Amen. There's still some people in this world that's looking for a hellfire and brimstone church, and they cannot find one. You've walked into one here today. We still believe in heaven. We still believe in being saved. We still believe in living right, doing right, and giving your life to God, and not living in the ways of the world. Hallelujah. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people that are proclaiming to be Christians out there, but they are partaking of the exact same things that the Bible speaks against. He said, be not deceived. In other words, they think that it is okay. They think that common law marriage sanctifies it. Amen. I don't care what government has okayed. Government okayed homosexual marriages, and it's still not okay. Government has okayed common law marriages, but it's not okay. Amen. He goes, he says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to make it into heaven if you fall in these categories. Amen. But this is your hope. He said, such were some of you. That's the past tense. There is hope. You have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You've been redeemed. You weren't worthy of it, but God in his mercy reached down and pulled you out, amen, of the dregs of society. He pulled you out of an illicit lifestyle. He pulled you out of being bound in the bondage of violence, and God has set you free. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's why you've got a reason to rejoice. That's why you've got a reason to shout. That's why you've got a reason to thank God for it. I'm no longer an alcoholic. I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm no longer bound by nicotine. I'm not bound by perversion. I'm not bound by illicitness. I'm not bound by the things of this world. I've been set free. And the Bible says, he that the Son is set free, he is free indeed. Let's love him today. Hey man, give me just a few more minutes and I'm going to be done. I'm not going to be like all those others that we hear about. Give me 5 minutes and I'll be done. Give me 8 minutes and I'll be done. I may need 10 or 15, but at least you've got hope. Give me a few minutes and I'll be done. Few is relevant. Praise God. But he said, such were some of you. Such were some of you. Let me just jump over the first word and let me go to the second word. All right, we talk about washed. Amen. That's in the waters of baptism. Luke chapter number 24, verses 46, 47, and 48. He talks about baptism, which is for the remission of sin. He said that remission would be preached in His name. Amen. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 16, He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be lost." And John, in the book of John, Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, that you must be born again of water and the Spirit. You know, accepting the Lord as your personal Savior is not being born again. Born again is an experience. Born again happens. And when you accept the Lord as your personal, and I didn't get good enough to accept God. He accepted me on His terms. Well, glory. And so, I got all this bondage strapped on me. Bondage of sin, theft, violence. The Bible said even those that are effeminate. Mamas, amen, you need to let your husbands, amen, make men out of those little boys. They don't need to be prissy little boys. They need the hand of daddy involved in them. Many, many years ago, I was walking across the parking lot, and I turned around and looked at my youngest son, Marcus, who was following me. And here I was walking across the church parking lot, just normal. And I looked back, and here's little Marcus. You can't really believe that, huh? He was once pretty little. And here he was, trying to walk in my steps. And my step went here, that's where his little foot had to go. It'd be my little foot and his now. But that's just the way that it was. I got a revelation. Amen. You know why we have so many prissy little boys? It's because they don't have dads in their lives. I could preach for a long time, but I only asked for a few minutes. But the Bible does teach that that us dads, that we are not to provoke our children to anger. And so we don't need to be knocking them around and doing things to provoke them unto anger. We just need to teach them to be good young men. Respectable young men. But men. You see boys that are walking around and got a little priss in their step. A little effeminacy in their voice. The world says that's okay. That's not okay. Somebody says, oh, but science has proved that there's a chromosome. Science has proved no such thing. Science has an idea. They have a what do you call that, a hypothesis? They have a hypothesis, but it has not been proven. And I'm just here to tell you today, it's not going to be proven. Because I don't care what you do to that body. I don't care what fluids you inject. I don't care what you cut off, what you sew up. I don't care what you do. When you take the blood and put it on a microscope, you're going to see the Y chromosome and the X chromosome. And through the blood, you're going to be able to tell if it's a boy or a girl. Praise God. But I didn't come to talk about that. I just come to talk about what the world is accepting. Amen. And that's where you and I were. And even Paul stated, he said, how did I know that I was not supposed to do these things except the law came, amen, and spoke and said that I should not covet. He said, amen, then when all of this happened, sin revived and I died because the soul that sinneth it shall surely die. Amen, but Paul was baptized. Amen, and when Paul went down in that water, all of his sins went down with him. And when Paul came up out of that water, all of his sins went down the drain. Because that's what baptism is for the washing away. And that's what the Lord said. He said, such were some of you.
but you have been washed. And then let me skip that next part. And he said, but you've been justified. And that word justified is very, very simple. It doesn't take, amen, you don't have to have etymology to go in and to understand what justification is. Let me just give you some common sense on it. Amen, it's the simple man's definition. You've heard of Poor Richard's Almanac. This is Poor Mark's Almanac. Simpleton's definition of justification is just as if you never did it. God, when you go down in that watery grave and you come up out it, amen, and somebody says you used to be a thief, and you say, and God says, I don't know anything about that. Amen. And somebody said, you used to be violent, and God says, I don't know anything about that. You used to be perverted, and God said, I don't know anything about that. You used to be this, amen, and God says, I don't know anything about that. You used to be an adulterer, and God says, I don't know anything about it. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for justification. Let me talk a little bit about this Redeemer, and I'm going to close it up. And let's go back to that word sanctification. Amen. Titus talked about that he would redeem us from all iniquity or lawlessness or sin and purify himself a peculiar people. And in Corinthians, Paul stated unto the church of God, which is Corinth, to them who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the Redeemer, that he sanctified us. Because when God redeems you, you know, oh, I may need just a few more than a few minutes. Give me just a few plus one. I met this man who had been in prison for 17 years, been in solitary confinement for many, many of those years. And the time came that they, excuse me, they came to him and they told him, they said, you know, you're getting ready to go. We're going to let you go free. What was his name? I don't remember his name either. Ranz's Pass. Yeah, your cousin, whatever his name was. That man. Yeah, we'll think of it later. But they let him go. And when they let him go, he was in Huntsville State Penitentiary there in Texas. And when they let him go, they gave him $100. $100 don't take you very far these days. They gave him $100. They gave him a pair of Docker slacks. Gave him a button-up shirt. $100 and a bus ride to a place that somebody could come pick him up. And so he took that bus of 17 years in prison. He took that bus and sitting on that seat in fear. And he got there, and a bus driver opened up that door and turned around. All those prisoners started filing out and started coming off of that bus and getting out. The bus driver turned around and looked at him, and he said, come on, you got to get out. He said, I don't want to get out. Whoa, you thought he'd have been skipping. Woohoo! I'm done. I'm free. I'm out of here. No, he sat there on that bus. They told him, they said, hey, get out. You're done. You've done your time. Get out. He said, I don't want out. He said, just take me back. Take me back. The driver looked at him and he said, are you an idiot? He said, you've been in that hell house for 17 years and you want to go back there? He said, no, I really don't want to go back there. He said, then get out. You're free. And he said, no. He said, I'd rather just go back there. He said, why? And he said, because they have set me up for failure. I'm a thief. I'm a felon. He said, they've given me $100. They've given me some Docker jeans, some Docker pants, and some shoes, and a button-up shirt and stuff. And he said, how cold is it out there? He said, I got $100. He said, do I buy food or do I buy a coat? Because I can't buy both. They've set me up for failure. And I'm going to get out there. And I'm going to be freezing cold. And I'm going to be hungry. And either I'm going to buy a coat and steal food. Or I'm going to buy food and steal a coat. And they're going to come pick me up. And they're going to throw me back in there. I just want you to know that that's not the way that the Redeemer God works. That's not the way that the Redeemer works. Amen. When he pays the price to redeem your soul from the bondage and from the slavery of sin, amen, he sets you up for success. Because number one, he washes you. Number two, he justifies you. So when you go back in before the judge is going to look and all of your records have been expunged. There's nothing that is there. But number three, he sanctifies you. In other words, he sets you apart from everything and he gives you a purpose. You're not out there just blundering around. You're not out there wandering around in a world, amen, in the wilderness like the children of Israel did for 40 years. Amen. God said, I've got a place for you. I've got a job for you. I'm going to take you out and I'm going to set you apart and I'm going to give you purpose in your life.
You don't understand what I'm talking about here today. Amen. When I got to looking at sanctification and I began to read the definition of sanctification, and I pushed my little phone button and I told Siri, I said, define sanctification for me. And she told me what it meant and she said, do you want to hear the second definition? I said, sure. She read the second one. And when she read those definitions of what sanctification was, amen, my mind went back to a place in Pueblo, Colorado. May have been Pueblo West. I'm not for sure. It may have been Walsenburg, but it was in Colorado. And I just pictured my little boys coming up behind Pawpaw, and they had this brush, and with this brush they proceeded to comb Pawpaw's hair. And Pawpaw thought it was great, and Mama thought it was great how these little boys were finding it so great just to comb Pawpaw's hair. And then a little bit later, amen, one of them ran off and they came back and wanted to comb Pawpaw's hair again, and they started combing it as Pawpaw's hair was all fried and sticking out all over the place. But they had seen Mama and they had seen Daddy get a little bit of water and spray it, and then the hair lays down, and then you can do it. But there was no spray bottle around, and so here's Pawpaw, and all of a sudden his hair's wet. Amen. He's like, hey, these boys are knowing. Amen. Water will lay this hair down. And now Pawpaw's getting himself a nice slick hairdo, and then all of a sudden Pawpaw stopped and he said, whoa, wait a second, hey boys, where are you getting that water from? Amen. And somebody pulled that brush out and said, the toilet. And Pawpaw's like, whoa, 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 wait a second. Hey, man, that brush is not supposed to go in the toilet. That brush has a purpose. That brush has a position. And the position is on the counter in the bathroom. And the purpose is for my hair. That brush isn't to scrub the toilet and to get the water out to put on my hair. Everything's got a purpose. Everything's got a reason. That's what sanctification is. God doesn't pull you out of the world and then just let you go and do anything. God said you got a purpose and you got a position and you're set apart and you're mine. I bought you. You've been washed. You've been justified. You've been sanctified by the name of the Lord Christ Jesus. Let's stand. Redeemed. Redeemed. That's what redemption is. That's what redemption is. And that's what our text talks to us about. Now our text is talking about the Hebrews that was in Babylon and how that they had lived for years back in a similar situation like Egypt. Every god that you could desire was found in Babylon. Over 500 gods were embroidered onto one gate. And you could find any god that you wanted except Jehovah. And there they were in a land of slavery and bondage. The king had come. into Jerusalem and had torched Jerusalem. Two different times he had come into Jerusalem and pulled them back to Babylon. And now Ezekiel and Daniel is there in Babylon. And they're going through their things. Bondage. Cruelty. At the time that you hear the sound of music, bow down to that music. We can't bow down. I don't know, Brother Worst, there's just something in my mind that continues to question. Because I only hear of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where were all the other Jews? There were hundreds. As a matter of fact, I don't remember, but I actually read it today, and I know they had been there, and so they had populated and stuff, but there were many thousands. Many thousands. If my mind serves me correctly, it was around 43,000 that came out of Babylon. Three Hebrew boys are the only ones that get thrown into the fiery furnace. Three Hebrew boys are the only ones that gets exposed and stood up in front of everybody. We know that Daniel would read the declaration on the wall. And he would declare, today your kingdom is divided. And we know that Darius would come in, the Medes and the Persians, and they would overthrow. And sometimes later a decree would be signed and they would say, all right, all of you Hebrews, all of you Israelites, all of you that want to go home, there's the door, you can go home. There's the door, get off the bus. And as Jonathan would look at that driver and say, I don't want to get off the bus. There were hundreds, thousands of Hebrews that would look at that decree and that open door and say, I don't want to go back to Jerusalem. But there were some that were tired of bondage, tired of slavery, tired of the cruelness of the world. And they began to make their ways out and began to walk down the path. Many of them, they were going to something that they had only heard a story of. Others were going back to memories of a temple that no longer stands there. But with hope and faith will rebuild. History teaches us that they had professional singers that walked the road and they sang songs of victory as they made their way back because somebody had opened the door. And today the Redeemer stands at your door. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3, verse number, was it 16 or 20? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I'll come into him. And I'll sup with him and he with me. Jesus would state in the Gospels, he said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest is the Spirit of God. He'll fill you with His Spirit. You say, but I'm so messed up. I've made so many mistakes. No, the Redeemer is here today. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid of going back into the world. I'm afraid of going back into bondage and stuff. No, the Redeemer is here today. And He wants to pay the price to pull you out. And He wants to justify your record. And He wants to wash your sins away. And He wants to sanctify you with purpose. In other words, He's going to call you out and He's going to separate you. And He's going to say, you're mine now. I don't have time to finish this message. Maybe one of these days I'll dig just a little. I've got it here on paper.
One of these days I'll go just a little bit further. Amen. But when he sanctifies you, he pulls you out of that world. Amen. And he broods over you like a mother hen with her little chicks. And he said, no, you're mine. You're mine. And all hell comes around and tries. He said, get out of here. This is mine. I've sanctified them. My name is on them. I paid the price for them. This is mine. If anybody came up to you today and pulled you out of your car and jumped in your car that you've been paying notes on and maybe you've got paid off and such and drives away, you'd be screaming and hollering and kicking and fighting and throwing rocks and calling the cops and all that because that's yours. You've been paying for it. If it's paid for, the title is in your name. And that's what the Redeemer does when he sanctifies us. He said, it's mine. No, you cannot have him. I could talk about Job. That's why Satan had to come before Job and said, hey, if you'll do this, and God's like, no, he's mine. Keep your hands off. He's mine. I want you to know today that's what God wants to do with you. I just feel like I'm going to fail. God doesn't fill you with the Spirit so that you can backslide, so that you can fail, so that you can walk. Amen. He fills you with the Spirit so that you can be an overcomer. Amen. Paul said it like this. We are more than conquerors through Him, the Redeemer, that loved us. Hallelujah. These altars are open here today. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, it's okay, redeemed. If you've been bought with the price and God has filled you with His Spirit, amen, has purchased, amen, your sins by the price of, with the price of blood, amen, you've got a reason, you've got a right to do this. And that's what He said. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. God went out of His way to make this happen. Went out of His way to find you. Went into the depths of sin to buy you and to purchase you. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. Found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. It wasn't like that, but it was the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Redeemer came down to your door. The Redeemer knocked on your door. The Redeemer bid you to open up unto Him. The Redeemer said, I'll purchase your sins. The Redeemer said, I'll pay the price. The Redeemer washed you. The Redeemer justified you. The Redeemer sanctified you. And today you are holy.
Hallelujah.
Sanctified. Holy. Holy. That means complete. You're complete. You're complete. You had all kinds of holes in your life. Amen. You had no ambitions. You had no goals. You had no dreams. You had no desires. Amen. Suicide was an option. Amen. That's where you were in life. Torn to rags. Amen. Embittered by the world. That was your story. But Jesus came down your way and redeemed you. And the Bible said that He sanctified you holy. Amen. In other words, just like that leper that was full of leprosy. He said, Lord, if You will, You can heal us. And Jesus said, I will. The one came back and said, thank You. And the Bible said that He touched him and he was made whole. Complete. That's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to make it complete. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to make it complete. He wants to make it complete. Praise God. Let's take time to love Him.